Our guest at this time is U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Bob. Hope you're doing well.
Hope you are as well. First thing we wanted to ask you about today is a report recently released that had to do with the COVID vaccine. And you maintain that the mainstream media is kind of covering up, or should I say not reporting, how much of an effect that had on residents of the U.S.
Sure. So let me describe what my staff found. Because of Bob Kennedy's commitment to radical transparency, we got 11 million pages of information from HHS, and we found the needles in the haystack that Peter Marks, who was head of the FDA division that approves vaccines, but then also is supposed to surveil for safety signals, was warned on March 1st of 2021, this is less than 3 months into the administration of those injections, that his algorithm they were using to analyze the vaccine adverse event reporting system, VAERS, was going to hide or mask safety signals. And then 26 days later, using a new algorithm, he was shown 25 safety signals on things like sudden cardiac death, pulmonary infarction, Bell's palsy, different types of stroke. And rather than embrace that new algorithm to, you know, find those, their own needles in the haystack, look for those safety signals to warn doctors, to warn the public, to, you know, inform a patient so that we had informed consent whether we wanted to take that experimental gene therapy injection, they hit it. They continued to use the old algorithm they knew was hiding safety signals. So, yeah, I think this is the biggest scandal, government scandal in my lifetime, because after March 1st of 2021, we had millions of additional adverse events reported to VAERS. In total, so far, it's 39,000 deaths reported worldwide. 24% of those deaths occur on the day of vaccination within 1 or 2 days. Now, I know VAERS doesn't prove causation, but that's correlation that I believe CDC and FDA should have taken seriously, but they didn't, because they didn't want to create vaccine hesitancy. They wanted to make sure that Biden could mandate this to the military and others. So again, it's a major scandal because people died and are permanently disabled without the informed consent that I think they had every right to have.
Did the Biden administration have a role in not getting this information out to the public?
Well, this is all under the Biden administration. And again, we have, you know, emails where they say, remember, you know, the Biden wants to, you know, get this booster in as many arms as possible. They really want to push this booster. And we know, you know, Biden was blaming the pandemic on, you know, pandemic of the unvaccinated. They were lying. They'll say, oh, you'll get that jab and we'll stop transmission. Well, no, the jab is not transmission. It doesn't even stop infection. So again, we were lied repeatedly, and they lied just because for some reason they wanted a universal vaccination program. They wanted that jab in every arm. They wanted to mandate it to the military and to other people, even in the private sector. So, no, this is all due to pressure coming from President Biden and members of his administration.
Now, you had written in an editorial, which was posted on X, formerly Twitter. A lot of mainstream media chose not to carry what you had to say.
Correct. We published our report, and I held a hearing on it on April 29th. And ever since then, you know, I've been getting on a lot of radio programs, alternate media, podcasts, that kind of stuff, Fox News, Fox Business. But the legacy networks, ABC, NBC, PBS, CNN, they just refused to have me on. And so I wrote, again, if you don't want to read my 38-page report, I'd recommend people do read it. But I wrote an op-ed that I offered to the Wall Street Journal, to the New York Times, the Washington Post, USA Today. Even Fox Digital declined to run it. So we decided to publish it ourselves on X and just point out the outlets that refused to carry this. And why? I mean, this again, this is a major revelation. This is a major scandal. And it's all radio silence in terms of legacy media, both print and broadcast. And, you know, my only guess is they were all very much pushing the jab, and like doctors who recommend it, like federal health officials that push this jab, and everybody, like politicians that cut videos to get that jab. Nobody wants to admit that something they were pushing or mandating might have killed or permanently disabled somebody, but that's exactly what happened. It's irrefutable that this injection didn't kill and didn't permanently disable people. The only question is how many.
So given what you just told us, what do you think about people getting an annual COVID shot?
I would, you know, I certainly am not going to get one. That'll be up to them. Again, we know COVID can be deadly, particularly if you're elderly or have comorbidities. So, you know, that'll be up to you, but you need the full information. You need to understand what the possible side effects would be, you know, what the risk is. It's not all benefit. And by the way, a lot of these benefits are way overstated. I've just proven the claim by the Commonwealth Fund that saved 3.2 million lives. It's a fantastical study. You'd have to assume we went from 2.85 million deaths prior to the pandemic to over 5 million in 21 and 2022. So again, the benefits have been way overstated. Another study said it's going to be 20 million. Now it's been downgraded about 2.5 million lives saved globally, primarily in the elderly population. So unfortunately, science has been corrupted. You really only get what's published that conforms to the narrative of the COVID cartel. Anything contrary to it, for example, like my report, this revelation gets buried or gets ridiculed or marginalized or vilified.
How many opportunities have you had to talk about this report since it came out on April 29th?
Well, again, in alternate media, I'm doing multiple interviews every day. Again, I'm trying to inform the American public. I'm just not getting any help from the legacy media. And again, most people get their news from the legacy media, you know, from the major networks, from the major newspapers. So if they're not covering it, it's like it's not a story. And that's basically what's happening. So, no, I think already we published my op-ed last night late, and we've already got 400,000 views on X, so it's getting seen, but and certainly getting reported on by alternate sites, but not by the legacy media.
Are there others on the Subcommittee on Investigations that are voicing concerns as well?
Well, you know, most committee meetings, hearings, the chairman and the ranking member are the only people who stay for the whole hearing. You know, some people bop in and out. I've got some colleagues who are certainly appreciative of what I'm trying to do here, but they also see, you know, the extent I'm vilified and ridiculed for trying to tell the truth, getting the truth out there. So they're saying, well, we'll let Johnson do that. So I really don't have colleagues here that are helping me get the story out.
Okay. So there is a link on the post that you had on X to the full report.
Correct, and I really recommend people reading it. Don't be put off by the 38 pages. A lot of that is footnotes. A lot of it is just a very detailed timeline, which is very revealing. But the main report is pretty easy to read and pretty good summary. But if you don't want to read 38 pages, just read my op-ed. That does a pretty good job of summarizing it, and that's available on X.
Yeah, there's a lot of information in that. I read that this morning. We wanted to change the subject a little bit about the peace agreement with Iran. Your thoughts on that?
Well, again, it's a memorandum of understanding, and it doesn't lay out in great deal exactly how we're going to handle all these issues. But you know, I would summarize it by saying it recognizes reality. And, you know, I often don't like the reality we faced, okay? But you put yourself in peril if you don't acknowledge reality and react to it. So, you know, President Trump recognized reality that Iran with a nuclear weapon posed an existential threat to America. Every president said they couldn't have one. He's the only one that did something about it. Now, we've dramatically degraded their nuclear program, their navy, their missiles, their drones, their missile manufacturing capability. But we weren't able to achieve unilateral surrender. We didn't overthrow the regime. The Iranian people did not reclaim their country. That's certainly what we hoped. So the regime remained in power. They brutalized their citizens. We don't even know to what extent because they've shut down the internet. And they took the Strait of Hormuz hostage, which was economically damaging to the whole world, including the United States. So President Trump realized the American people were never going to support ground troops to overthrow the regime. So he recognized that reality as well and said, let's try and figure out some peaceful way to resolve this over time. We certainly reserve the right if they start making moves toward those nuclear sites to bomb them again. It sounds like they're trying to, you know, work with the Iranian regime to pull the nuclear material out. Again, I don't trust the regime. I know the Trump administration doesn't. So it's going to be verification, and we don't know exactly all the details of how this all just worked out or whether it works out to a better place than we are today. But we're in a far better place than we were after the JCPOA, where all of Iran's power was remaining. We degraded Iran. We weakened them dramatically.
Is this just a 60-day ceasefire agreement?
Probably. We'll see. We'll see how Iran reacts. It could only be. It might not even last 60 days. Part of the deal is that Iran expects Israel to withdraw from Lebanon. No action against Hezbollah. But Hezbollah has not been exactly restrained. They keep firing missiles into Israel, and Israel has every right to go ahead and defend itself if they're fired upon by Hezbollah. So that could blow the whole thing up right there.
Well, Senator Johnson, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me on. Thanks for covering what I consider the biggest scandal of government in my lifetime. Thank you.
We've been talking with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.